Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
You must be tuned into the Arts Africa show on Africa Global Radio. Now, you know, we stream from our base here in Airport Accra, Ghana, to every corner of the world. And my name is Alba Kane Supreme, and I am your host. And it is my great pleasure to take you on another journey of African excellence, where we delve into the lives of creatives and artists on our lovely continent. Now, I'm really excited about today's guest because I love traveling and I do most of my watching, like content that I watch mostly YouTube. I've left TV once in a while, but like YouTube is my go-to place for content to watch. And the fact that it also involves travel and meeting people, these are all things that I really enjoy. So our great guest today is Wode Maya. He's a vlogger and a YouTuber who began his career as an aeronautical engineer in China. Traumatic experiences of racism and discrimination changed his career path, and now he's probably one of the most popular African YouTubers with a huge, you know, following. He travels around Africa telling the African story with a wide collection of engaging videos that are changing the narrative about the continent. So it's about Africans telling the African story as opposed to how it used to be before. So I'm really looking forward to him joining us. So make sure you check us out on africaglobalradio.com, Instagram and Twitter. We are at AF Global Radio, Facebook, Africa Global Radio, and you can send us a WhatsApp on +233 20 70 64 680. Now, as I do every single week, you know, it's time to shout out our partner station. That's W93.5 FM, and that is in Wa in the Upper West region of Ghana. And I keep on saying it, if you are within signal reach, I beg, tune in. That is W93.5 FM, and that is our partner station in Wa. Now, as somebody on YouTube said, the energy on this song can cook beans under 5 minutes. It's got a heavy beat. It's really nice, and it is Killing Them by Burna Boy and Zlatan. So enjoy that, and we'll get back on with the show when we come back.
It's Kill P Vibes.
Zlatan.
If I receive.
You go with it!
Because I swear God, the fight will kill them back. Rob, 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 we go to win them like that. Oh, God, boy, make a no, be a belly jack.
Oh yeah, would it
na le wa ni re wo mo kunle fowo lo mu mi se re wo guyan mi kere ni si mo fun mo fo kere oya ale haleluya rabita le ni se bi ti suya ma je ko ye le ni ti ba lo rabima e bu ko la so le go da la shi ya le la sa futo futo ko mo ti wale ku mani di badi ku ka pa ki mari mari ti pa ko e ru ku ni mo pa ki mo pesa ku wale mo ni ko fe shaku shaku si e mo kele le mi sha because I swear to God, if I could kill them back.
Africa Global Radio.
Okay, so that was Burna Boy and Zlatan with Killing Them. I'm sure you also enjoyed the beat because our techs here were showing us all their dance moves. Okay, right now, let's have a taster on what's available on Africa Global Radio during the week. And then after that, our guest will be with us in the studio.
Karibu, Saubona, Ekabo, Sanunku. Hello and welcome to the Africa Daily Show on Africa Global Radio, a daily magazine program that highlights happenings in Africa and the diaspora. On this show, we bring you positive news across the African continent, newspaper headlines across Africa, and trends on social media with Epifania Jokotogligui. Good news.
For today's AGR good news, we have Uganda starts mass production of its first smartphone.
Today, we remember a segment that revisits significant days in global African history. Interesting facts about Africa on the Did You Know segment.
Did you know
DR Congo is the largest producer of cobalt in the world? Individuals and groups who are contributing to the progress of Africa on African Champions.
And so Paris Bosire is our African champion for today.
And what's on and what's new? Mami Aminta presents what's happening in the world of events, conferences, trade fairs, the latest in music, books, films, fashion, art, theater, and the newest trends.
What's new?
So you're a fan of music?
I am actually.
And you know Davido?
Oh yeah, even in my sleep.
So yeah. His A Good Time album has hit 1 billion streams on all platforms worldwide.
Wow.
This and much more great music across Africa and the diaspora.
Join us on Monday to Friday from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. GMT.
On Africa Global Radio. Our story, our growth, our future.
I love Africa Global Radio.
All right.
Mother Maya.
Hi.
Welcome to Arts Africa.
Thank you so much for having me.
You told me you missed the flight, so what happened to you?
I was actually late to the airport. I arrived there 7:20. The plane leaves at 8.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why they didn't allow me to fly because they said 40 minutes earlier, but I was just 2 minutes late. I felt like they just wanted me to pay the money. That's it.
Oh.
Because you have to pay to reschedule the flight. And I told them I'm no longer interested. They should give me back my money.
But then to reschedule would have meant you had to fly when?
No, like that's like they don't even have another flight for today.
Yes.
So their next flight is tomorrow. So I told them, I can't wait till tomorrow. They should just allow me to go. They said no. So Africa World told me that I can be on a standby because I think most of them watch my videos. So they're like, we'll not allow you to go like that. Just stay around and we're going to figure something out.
So they were able to transfer you?
Yeah. I mean, they did not transfer me. Africa World because they follow me on Twitter. So they saw me like, there's the guy. And they just told me that I should wait. hang around a bit, and then their flight was around 9:10. Mm-hmm. So I had to stay around just to take Africa World. So passionate, they never gave me back my ticket.
I've had a few experiences with them where planes leave earlier than your ticket says, and you get to the airport, it's like the plane's gone.
I think they need to get things right, man. That's what I feel.
So how are you prepping for Christmas? Are you in GH? You're going to be out of the country? How has Omicron affected whatever plans that you've been having?
For me, I'll be here on Christmas Day, but I'll be out of the country tomorrow.
Okay.
I actually have 3 countries to go.
Mm-hmm.
So 3 countries in 20 days.
Okay, which countries are those?
I'll be in Tanzania. Mm-hmm. That's like on Sunday, I'll be in Tanzania. And then I'll be in Kenya after 12 days.
Mm-hmm.
And then my friends are getting married in Dubai.
So you'll be off to Dubai.
So I have to be in Dubai on the 21st, and then I'll be back in Ghana exactly 23rd.
Wow. Wow, that's like a really, really, really packed schedule.
Very.
And so how has traveling changed pre and COVID?
I think pre-COVID, we used to travel without thinking of getting any COVID test or vaccines inside our body. Mm-hmm. We used to travel with no delays. As soon as you land at the airport, you get your bags and then you are out. But post-COVID has been really crazy. I mean, it's so expensive to travel right now. Once again, the COVID test at Ghana Airport is daylight robbery. Thank you.
I'm paying
$150. You're telling everybody to come to Ghana, but you're telling us that West Africans or maybe Ghanaians and West Africans has to pay like $50, and the rest of the passengers have to pay $150. I think it's...
And then in places like Rwanda, it's like $19.
Exactly. I mean, Ghana can do better because I feel like they're always trying to find a way to make money out of the poor people, and it's absolutely ridiculous. And that's why I always want to tell people that that's not fair, man.
And what do you think about the vaccine?
I've not taken a shot yet, so I don't know about that. Because for me, I don't think I need a vaccine. Because before COVID, I was traveling. After COVID, I'm still traveling. If I will ever have COVID, I think I would have COVID by now. Because even during COVID time, that was when I was conducting most of my interviews. Those days, I don't even do interviews. I remember I met a guy who had COVID. He was flying to America. As soon as he got to Dubai, he called me that he has COVID, so I should go and check.
Mm-hmm.
I went to check and it was negative. So I don't know. Maybe I've got a strong
immune system
and I don't think I need to do the vaccine unless it's compulsory. If I'm going to a country that it's a must for me to get that.
Yeah. Because I think, I mean, looking at the way things are happening in places like Australia and Germany and other countries in Europe, it's going to get to a point where it's literally going to be like a vaccine.
But I mean, like having even the vaccine, having taken the shot, you get to Ghana, you still have to pay the COVID test.
Really? Wow. Okay. So anyway, you're going to be really busy this month.
Very.
Okay. So I've chosen a song for us. Before we get into the interview proper.
Okay.
So during COVID, obviously, Jerusalem took the whole world by storm. It took the world by storm. It was like a sign of hope.
Yeah.
And I chose it because it projected Africa in a really beautiful way. Africa gave hope to the world, and all these young people were doing the little dances, and people were, and it kind of reminded me of the kind of work you're doing, because you're traveling around, your positive sides of Africa, showcasing the beauty that we had. And I just thought Jerusalem was like the perfect song. So we're going to listen to that. And
Thank
when we
you.
Come back, we continue the convo.
Jerusalem, ikayalami, ilondoloze, uhambe nami, zumangishilana. Jerusalem, ikayalami, ilondoloze, uhambe nami, zumangishilana. mi au kulana kilo ndoloze su hamita mi dau ya mi ai kulana buso wa mi au kulana kilo ndoloze su
was Jerusalem. I'm sure it took some of you back to, you know, when it was, yeah, when it captured all of us and we were all going crazy over it. Exactly. Were you able to do any of the dances?
No, I don't know how to dance. No.
What does Wodemaya mean?
Wodemaya, yeah, simply means my mom.
Okay. In which language?
In Mandarin. So I speak fluent Chinese. So
you speak fluent Mandarin?
Yeah. I was based in China.
What took you to China?
So it's a long story.
Give me the short version.
Short version. It's more like I was desperate to get out of the country.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got the chance to get a scholarship to study in the UK, but visa got refused and I didn't want to study in Ghana. I just wanted to go abroad.
And so China was...
China was the next option and I had to go for it. And I would say that it's one of the best choices I've ever made in my entire life.
Because obviously it just steered your career.
Exactly.
And you went there to study
Aeronautics.
Aeronautics, yeah. Engineering.
I did aeronautics in China.
Mm-hmm.
After school, got a chance to serve in a company for 6 months. And after that,
Tell me something.
Yeah.
So when you went to study it, did you plan on returning to Ghana?
Not at all.
Because I was wondering, that kind of career, how do you use it to help?
So basically, like I said, I wanted to do something that I don't even want to trace back my route that I'm from Ghana.
Really?
I was so desperate. I was like, you know what? I mean, when you live in Ghana, for me, right? When I live in Ghana, I feel like I don't get that respect that I deserve whenever I'm in this country. And besides, I was born in a village. So being born in a village, I just wanted to get out of this place,
mm-hmm,
for good. So
really?
I found myself, like, I wanted to go to the UK, visa got bounced. I found myself in China. I even had to date a Chinese woman to the extent that, yo, even if after school I don't get a job, I still have a woman that I'm going to marry so that I stay here forever.
Wow. That is
exactly
that's incredible. That's incredible. So, I mean, I've been to China, and Hong Kong.
Okay.
And that thing where you're on the train, that lone black face, and you're sitting there, and the two seats next to you are empty.
Yeah.
And they've all packed themselves somewhere, and you're sitting there. I went to Hong Kong from India, and India is, you know, it's like 5 million people on the bus and they are in your face.
Exactly.
And they want to touch your hair and stuff. And so to go from India to Hong Kong at that time, it was weird because it's like they don't even acknowledge your existence.
Exactly. I think such stories need to be told,
mm-hmm,
for people to be aware because... I'm used to what you're saying because when I was based in China, you might be the only person sitting down. You got an empty seat. No one wants to sit beside you just because of your skin color.
Yeah.
Right. And I always tell people, get used to it because they're not going to change anytime soon.
Yeah.
Because it's still happening in 21st century.
Yes.
And I always tell anybody who is going to China, if anything like that happened, you can even put your legs and enjoy.
Enjoying the sea.
Yeah, because they've just been stupid. That's it.
But you are prepared to marry a Chinese woman.
Yeah.
And stay there.
Forever.
Forever.
Because I didn't know the value of being an African. I didn't know the value of born in Africa and raised in Africa. I didn't know how much I worth being in Africa because I thought...
What did you base your worth on here before you left, before you understood?
I thought like worth is what we see in the Western world. Mm-hmm. I mean, those material things that you need to acquire. I mean, have money and... But when I got there, I realized that the Western world is not what they've been portraying to us. It's a depression world. I mean, I'm not saying that it's not a place to be. I mean, you can be there, achieve whatever you want to achieve.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can achieve something on the continent and attach the freedom that you have in here. See, I was supposed to go to America last year. I'm still like, yo, I'm not in a hurry. Like, America is there. But those days, give me that offer. 3 years ago that I'm taking you to America, I'll be the first person to jump on the plane.
Uh-huh.
Right? But seeing what I've been able to accomplish, 3 years of coming back to Africa, I couldn't achieve that 5 years in staying in China.
It's a bit like travel and see.
Exactly. So that's why I wanted to use my platform to tell Africans to come back home.
So what? Tell me a little bit about some of the things that you experienced that made you say, I really need to get back home. And I
was working and my own colleagues felt like I don't have to be here. Why? Because I'm an African. I was...
I felt this when I was in Hong Kong, I met this British man who'd been living there for 19 years.
Yeah.
And he said they don't like everybody. It's not even just black people.
Nah. That's a white person trying to say that so that we all accept the fact that we are one.
He's
a black or white?
No, he was a white Caucasian man.
Yeah.
But his whole thing was he even felt shunned where he was.
No, that's not.
They would not invite him.
That's not true. I mean.
Well, that is his truth.
No, that's his truth. But he's trying to say something to you for you to feel good.
No.
I'm just being honest to you. I lived in China for 6 good years. I had to even get contract, the contract is for me. I have to...
Use a Chinese person.
No. I'll use a Russian lady to go get a contract for you. But you are supposed to do the thing. But you make sure like a white person goes and get a contract for you. Like if you live in China, we have this we call a white privilege. I'm going to tell you something that so many people will not tell you. If you're a black American or you're black European and then you go to China and people get to know that you're black European or black American, you even have more advantages but more than somebody who is in Africa.
So there's a hierarchy.
Exactly. That's why
privilege.
Everyone in China was saying that they are Kobe Bryant. Do you know that thank God for Obama.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, when Obama became president.
Didn't you say, where was it that I heard somebody wanted to go for a job and they said
so they need someone who looked like Obama.
Yeah.
See, I mean, I the day Kobe Bryant died, I cried because, you know, I felt like we don't have anyone to mention. Because, you know, Chinese people love basketball.
Yes.
So you just say, oh, are you from Africa? I'm like, I'm not from Africa. I'm from America. So do black people come from? I'm like, oh, Kobe Bryant. It's like,
Kobe
and then Bryant. The and deal is done.
And they're saying, but I thought Kobe was like 6 foot. What happened to you?
You, exactly. So this is how it is in China. To the extent that you will see your fellow Africans, and then you talk to them and then they'll be using American accent.
Oh, really?
Oh, hi, my brother. How are you doing? I'm like,
Do you know, I'll tell you a funny story. So I went to visit my cousin in Afghanistan and we went up to, in Kabul, we went to the Panjshir, mountains, and we were there, the only two black people, black females. And then I heard some people talking and they were like, African-American. I'm like, hey, dude, we are Africans. Remove the American. Okay. If we get kidnapped, nobody's paying for us. Yeah. Yeah, so I can imagine.
Exactly. That is the best way to survive in China.
Yeah.
I mean, lying about your origin, and that's it.
And so what made you leave then?
For me, I was just tired of how people see me. Mm-hmm. And not just that, I was also doing research about Africa because I started making videos in China before I transitioned to Africa. Mm-hmm. So I was just trying to get videos to show people that, oh, this is Ghana, this is Nigeria, this is Sierra Leone. Because when you travel abroad, they don't know Ghana, Nigeria, or whatever.
They think it's one country.
One country.
Yeah.
So I was looking for something to show my fellow colleagues in China. I couldn't get anything. I go to YouTube, all I see is like,
and then it's often something from somebody else's point of view.
Exactly. And even like they put pictures. Mm-hmm. They put 10 pictures from different countries and they'll be like, oh, these are the 10 places you don't see in Africa. And I'm like, we need videos.
Yeah.
Because some of these pictures are not even real.
Yeah.
We need to show people videos. And I realized no one was doing it.
Stop showing giraffes and zebras.
Exactly. I told myself that if no one is doing it, if that's the problem in Africa, I guess I need to be the guy to solve it.
Okay.
And that's why I step out from China to Africa.
I don't think people appreciate the amount of time involved with having like a YouTube channel or, like a social media presence.
Yeah.
What is the process? For instance, you're going to go to Tanzania.
Yeah.
What was the... First and foremost, what's the pre-production about? What we're going to do there, who we're going to look for, whatever.
Mm.
And the whole process until we see it on YouTube. And then also talk about your team. Is it just you, one person, or do you have a team in place?
So basically, for Tanzanian trip, it's more like a documentary we're doing.
Okay.
So it's just a 12-day trip that everything is arranged for us. But when it comes to the other country...
And is it sponsored?
It's sponsored. But we're climbing Kilimanjaro, right? But it's 65% paid. And then we take the rest of the... So it's a bit...
So are you prepped? How long is it going to take you to climb up
Kilimanjaro? It's 6 days. 6 days and
you
then...
prepped?
Are yeah, I mean, yeah.
Yeah?
Very, very good.
We don't want to hear that. They are carrying you or something.
No. Yeah, but I'm ready for that. And it's 6 days up, 3 days down.
How did you prep for it?
No, I mean, I had a fitness coach where we ran almost every day.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been doing this for like 21 days now, running.
But isn't the air going to change? Isn't it going to get thinner as your client?
Yeah, but for that one, I think the tour operators know how to deal with that. So we have like
so
oxygen.
So they'll be carrying you, Abby.
No, they'll be... we even have helicopters in case of anything.
Okay.
Yeah, it's really a big company, and they are trying to make all that possible for us. But preparing for other countries, it's more like for me, I don't do research.
Okay.
When it comes to my videos, so everything that
are you sorry, the question that I asked you, is it just you alone?
I travel with two guys.
Mm-hmm.
Those are my editors, people who shoot and edit.
Okay.
So together we are.
And they're shooting on and editing on the move.
On the move, we don't put the footages down. We just we travel, we put everything up.
So you get back to the hotel room
and then we start editing.
And then they're editing.
Yeah, exactly. It's just recently that the workload became too much that we have to keep some of the footages, and then when we get out of the country, that's when we start like uploading. But those days, I actually started everything by myself.
Mm-hmm.
I travel, get to see whatever I want to see.
What were you shooting on?
Just showing the beauty of Africa.
No, what were you filming on? iPhone?
No, on a camera.
Yeah.
So I had like those days I used to travel with Canon 70D.
Okay.
And that's why I travel with, but now we're using Sony cameras.
Yeah.
So
obviously because they're smaller and easier.
Yeah. No, but I think it's got a very good picture quality in terms of shooting.
Yeah.
Because Canon are not mostly for pictures, and then we use the Sonys for videos. It's way better than. So that's what we use to.
What's it? That range they have the SLR.
The 4K.
Yes.
4K shots. Yes. Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So most of the time when we're going, I don't do research, because as soon as you start doing research, it's like you know what you should expect when you get to the country. I want every country to surprise me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, one of my videos that went viral, people thought I was crazy. I was not crazy. I went to Rwanda without knowing that Rwanda is the cleanest country in the world.
Okay.
I didn't know anything. I just
and
went.
And that plastics are banned?
Yeah, a ban. So I didn't know. I didn't know anything. I didn't, like, you see, you know a lot about Rwanda, but for me, I didn't know anything.
That's because I'm fascinated by Rwanda. I was supposed to go to DISCOP December the 12th, but because of Omicron, they have postponed it.
Wow.
Yeah.
So I went to Rwanda without knowing. I just went and I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
This place is so clean.
Yeah.
Then I told myself, what am I supposed to do in here? All I did was I was walking around and I saw somebody cleaning the gutter.
Uh-huh.
And then, like, I asked him, how many times do you clean the gutter in a day? He's like, 5 times a day. I'm like, 5 times a day? Are you serious? Don't try that in Ghana, bro.
So that was like, you just find things by surprise.
By surprise. Like exactly.
Your intuition just takes you to things.
All I did was to go to a restaurant, buy food, and then brought my food and came to sit in the gutter. Then I gave my camera to somebody who is passing by. Yes. The guy thought I was crazy. I'm like, no, I'm not crazy. I'm just
trying to make a point. Make a point.
So it's just one take.
Mm-hmm.
And I just did that video. I went back to my room, edited the video faster. I was extremely tired. I just put the video and I
went to sleep.
I woke up in the morning, the video was everywhere.
What kind of numbers did you get?
Oh no, I think right now the video has 2.3 million views on YouTube.
Ooh.
But even apart from that, almost all the TV stations
have copied it,
have used the same video.
Do they give you the credit?
In Ghana, they hardly do credit, you know.
People really need to take this.
I mean, the people don't even give credit. I mean, I did a video at the Himba village and I was just in my room and I'm seeing my video on somebody's TV station. You know how I struggled to go get that video. But for me, I normally, even my YouTube channel, I don't even put like copyright on people because I want my message to spread. It's not about copyright or anything like that.
But I think it is also important.
Very important. But
I think it's important.
Very, very important. But for me, I don't know how to explain it. I've got what I have to get from that particular video. I want my message to spread.
And then for you, I suppose, because it's spreading and it's going to new audiences, it's achieved your...
And that's my motto, my aim of starting what I do was to change the narrative of Africa. Okay. I just want every African or people who are not African to see that this is what we got in Africa. Mm-hmm. So even my videos, there is nothing like a copyright claim on my videos. You can't use my video. I don't care. So okay. far as using it for right purpose, I'm okay.
Yeah.
That's what I want to achieve.
And then obviously, you also shoot for a purpose. So
exactly.
Once it gets to them.
Exactly.
You know,
yeah.
That is exactly that.
Yeah.
Okay. So, myself included, me too, I've had ideas of starting a YouTube channel. Don't we all? Some advice.
Yeah.
How does one start? And how do you build up the numbers? What are the strategies that you put in place to increase your numbers and, you know?
See, I always tell people, start YouTube with right reasons, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You can easily be a billionaire having a YouTube account. You can be a millionaire having a YouTube account. But that shouldn't be your main aim of starting a channel. I always tell people, everyone can be a YouTuber. Everyone can have a platform. But how to build a platform, that is a problem.
Yes.
You see, we all have hobbies. What is your hobby?
But a YouTube channel is not a hobby.
It's a hobby. YouTube videos is like, see, for me.
The kind of work you have to
do. No. That's what I'm saying.
It's like a part-time job.
You enjoy being a radio broadcast, right?
Okay.
Yeah? Do you get tired of it? Unless it becomes a business, that's when you get tired of it. Uh-huh. When my YouTube channel became a business, sometimes I'm like, you know, but when you have passion for it, when that is what you always want to do, like me, I wake up, yes, what are we shooting? Because you love it, right? Mm-hmm. But as soon as it becomes a business, like right now.
But it can be a business that you love.
I mean, when it becomes a business, it's so annoying sometimes. I won't lie to you because
then now you have to do things.
Exactly. Because I don't, like I said, my videos are not scripted. But now, as soon as business comes in, you need to script what you're supposed to say, right? I'll tell you, I don't know if you watch my videos, I'll say 50% of the content on my channel are adverts.
Mm-hmm.
But if I don't tell you that these are ads, you will never know it's an ad, right? It all depends on how me as a content creator, how I'm going to create a content.
Yes.
Right? So that's why I'm telling you that having a hobby, you just have to know how to build the brand out of your hobby. See, you love eating.
Mm.
If you are listening to me and you love eating, you shouldn't be eating in your room just like that. When you are eating, put a camera on your face. Tell people how to eat, because so many people don't know how to eat.
Actually, I've seen videos on YouTube, like how to drink water.
Yeah, exactly.
And see, then it's got like 9 million views.
There's a doctor that I watch. I love him so much. He was recently in Ghana. He used to be a doctor. He just quit his job just to travel around the world to eat. So he comes to Ghana.
Wait a moment. And his face, he always looks like he's smiling.
Yeah,
he's got like a, yeah, I follow,
exactly.
I follow him. Mark wins. I love him. I love
and
him.
And wherever he goes, he just stops by, eats. And that's it.
He was in some chop bar.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But imagine telling Ghanaians that, oh, you are at a chop bar, you are eating and you are getting paid. It doesn't make sense to so many people.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of education that I always want people to know. That whatever hobby that you have,
there's value in it.
There's value in it.
Mm.
That's why I keep on telling people that everyone can be a YouTuber. Being a doctor, see, all the time, you're at a hospital. If you don't have a patient, which means you're sitting idle. But don't forget that there's so many patients in the house that they cannot come to you.
Yeah.
But your advice every morning.
Because there's a couple of doctors that I follow on YouTube, Dr. Stein and Dr.
Exactly.
And they do things like... you know, curing yourself with your food and intermittent fasting.
Yeah. But when it comes to Ghana, a doctor don't want to appear on camera because that doctor thinks that these are for...
It's free money. It's
But
I'm giving my skills away and not getting paid.
But sharing your skills on the internet makes you more money than sitting in a hospital.
How much money do you make?
Personally?
Yeah.
I'm just gonna, personally, that's gonna be tough. That's a tough question. I'm gonna give you a range as a YouTuber,
yeah.
A range. So we go from 20K
dollars,
to 100K.
We're talking dollars, Abby.
Yeah, I'm not talking about cities.
Okay, good.
So 20 to 100,000 a month.
Wow.
Oh, wow. Hey, yeah. Okay.
Wow.
Oh.
Now, that is very inspiring. and when do you... Okay, so how many followers do you have?
Current
subscribers?
No, I have 980.
So you're nearly at almost at a million.
Yeah, 12,000 people to go.
Because there's one guy that I follow, he's called Terrell, and his whole thing is about music and singers and that. And then when I started following him, he had like 27,000 subscribers.
Yeah.
He just hit a million last week and I did a big concert.
Wow.
And
that's
everything.
Impressive.
Yeah, but I mean, you're nearly there yourself.
Mm.
In the rankings in Africa, are you like the number one?
When it comes to travel content creators,
yeah,
I'm number one.
Yeah.
When it comes to Ghana in terms of the most subscribed channel,
yeah, that's you.
That's me.
That's you.
Yeah, but when you're putting everything together, like, okay, most subscribed channel in Africa, I don't think I'll be. Yeah, but when it comes to like a travel content
travel,
creator,
like
yeah, lifestyle.
Where it's in,
yeah.
your lane.
That's
Have you seen that guy on YouTube? I think his name is Hassan. He does a country in 1 minute.
Nas Daily. Yeah, Nas Daily. He started on Facebook and then he brought it to
because I
YouTube.
I like yeah. it and I love the one where he went to Nigeria and they made him clothes and
exactly.
he was on Okada and stuff like that. It was really,
exactly.
really
but
cute.
That's an interesting way of telling a story.
Yeah, because it's
one
like
minute,
one minute.
Yeah.
And I like the way he gets people around involved.
Yeah.
You know, that's really
but you know, when you're an African travel content creator, it's so hard to get Africans
different.
To it's a whole different ball game because I have a friend, Trubinski. I don't know if you know him.
I've seen his pictures on your...
Yeah, Drubinski came to Ghana and that's when I felt like, are we okay as Africans?
But it's that thing of where you are not appreciated in your homeland.
Oh, that one is true and I don't even care about that.
Yeah.
Because when
for instance, when I went to Ethiopia, I went to the northern part of Ethiopia and I arrived and people that they're stunned like, an African coming here for holidays. Exactly. We see white people. I'm like, but it's a beautiful.
And that's what we're trying to change, you know. We're trying to change that, telling Africans that it's time to travel within your own continent. But also, we should also get rid of that colonial mentality that an African is not supposed to travel within Africa. And also, Africans don't even embrace Africans when we're traveling. Like, if you tell people, oh, smile for the camera for us, they'll slap you. But in Africa, like, when, because some of the shots, we want to add beautiful faces of Africans, and then telling an African that, oh, let's us take a shot of you, they will never do it.
That's funny. Whenever I've traveled, I've always had it easy.
When we travel with Drubinsky, to the, oh my God, there's a white guy, and they were actually running from their villages to come to and I'm like, Drew, do you know that it's different when I travel alone? It's like, oh really? And like, yeah, don't worry, that's a white privilege.
But I think it's also because they're not used to it, they haven't seen it. because saying that, again, on my travels, when I went to Srinagar, which is in Kashmir, and my friend took me to a village, and I was the first black person they'd seen. And literally the whole town followed me around. And
I mean, that one happens, I think, when I was even in China.
Do you experience that? So it's like the curiosity for them.
But in Accra.
In Accra.
Working with a white man, and then the white, everyone is smiling for you to take a shot. That's crazy.
But you do have to also understand that the colonial...
That's what I'm saying.
Mentality.
We need to get rid of it.
We need to get rid of it.
I mean, even like, have you traveled in Africa that you had problems before in terms of immigration officers and all of that?
Just going to Togo, but I had to fight at the.
They wanted to charge you.
They wanted to charge me. I told them, hell no, I'm not being charged. They took my passport.
And
one of our Ghanaian brothers came to me and said, oh, my sister, hey, calm down. I said, brother, do you have any problems of your own or you want problems? Move. And I raised my voice and I made noise and they shouted at me and then they gave me my passport.
And if passport is passing through this, how much more than...
Or even the border at telling us by bus.
Telling us that now we're going to travel with Ghana card.
Do you have
to talk about that?
Some people have done the ECOWAS card though.
Yeah, but listen, even our passport, we have. See, I was denied entry in the Gambia.
Really?
I am ECOWAS, yeah?
Yeah.
I'm from the ECOWAS. I was deported in Uganda as an African, yeah? I was deported in Zambia. I'm an African.
But you had your visa in your passport. So what were the reasons for tossing you out?
That's what I'm saying. That, see, this is Africa Global Radio.
Or you didn't.
And that's what I want to speak.
Or you didn't
globally.
Trustworthy enough.
I mean.
For them to let you in their town.
Because in Uganda, the reason for deportation was I had a camera with me in my bag. And they said I came to spy on the president. I don't even know where the president lives. And they said I came to spy
on him. Who is the president?
It was Museveni.
Okay.
And they said I came to spy on the president. I think Zambia. Because I speak Chinese, and when it comes to China,
there's a million Chinese people.
Yeah,
in Zambia.
When it comes to China-Africa relationship, like when I speak, the videos trend because like I understand both sides.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when I spoke about Zambia, Chinese people in Zambia. I got deported from Zambia, right? And I think in some countries I got arrested as an African. Just see, it's so funny that when you travel in Africa, have you been in a situation where they just look at you and they're like, how sure are you that you can afford to live in our country? Can you take us to your bank?
Okay, I had that in Hong Kong.
That's abroad.
I had that in
Hong Kong. We shouldn't experience that on the continent.
And I would have been deported, but because I have dual nationality, that's what saved me. If not, they would have kicked me back to Delhi. But in Africa, I've done a lot of traveling by road and I've always been very... Would I say it's lucky? I've never had any problem.
Yeah, for me, as a travel content creator, I was going to.
But so while you were in jail, did you film yourself?
No, I did. The only thing that saved me was the man who was supposed to come and interrogate me saw my face. He switched on the light, saw my face. Oh, what am I? And I'm like,
oh, wow.
Can you please get me out of here, man? Because your guys just pull me in here. And that's how, but still, I still got deported from.
But you got deported gently.
Gently from Uganda to from Uganda to Rwanda. Yeah, so...
Oh, so you'd come from Rwanda?
Because they wanted to take me to Ghana, but I flew from Rwanda to...
Because normally they would kick you back to where you came
from. So they told me two options. You want to go back to Rwanda or you want to go to Ghana? I'm like, I need to go to Tanzania. So Rwanda is closer. So that's why I ended up in Rwanda.
Yeah. Question just off the bat.
Yeah.
If the internet didn't exist or hasn't reached the stage it is now, what would you be doing?
I think I would still go for my engineering career.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I'm so glad the internet came.
But you wouldn't be doing your engineering career here in Ghana.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a global citizen. I can do whatever I want to do from anywhere and then still, I mean, make an impact on the continent.
So once you finished studying in China, what was your status like?
In terms of
you were able to work there, did you have some sort of citizenship?
No one can ever be a citizen in China. It's only even if you marry a Chinese, you still not be a citizen unless your children that will have the privilege of becoming a citizen.
So then what do they give you that allows you to stay?
So just get a resident permit, renew your visas every year.
Uh-huh.
And that's what, I mean, because it's not expensive. So you renew your visas all the time and then be able to stay in the country.
Okay. Yeah. So if you could change anything about YouTube, which is the place where you connect with the world, and what would it be? And then what kind of support do you think the people who are showing the positive realities of Africa? Mm. I mean, you're going against a huge media machine that often doesn't want to portray positive sides of us. And so it's of a huge benefit to the country. When Paul Kagame decided that Rwanda was going to be a big tourist hub, what did he do? He invited Ellen DeGeneres to come. Obviously, she came with crew. They gave the red carpet treatment. And three of her shows were dedicated to how wonderful Rwanda was. Exactly. And immediately ticket prices just ching, and everybody was heading there. So obviously, it's also something... I don't know if it's a governmental thing, but it's something that is important enough that those in authority should be doing something as opposed to just leaving people like you on your own. What do you think?
Are you thinking about when it comes to Ghana and then?
I mean, Ghana, Africa, because when you are putting a continent that for a long time has been portrayed negatively and you're trying to change that narrative, that's all in the national interest. Do you understand?
Yeah.
And if it's in the national interest, then people at certain levels should be in... Somebody like you, you shouldn't have to be arrested in Uganda.
It's just... I'll just make it clear that they don't care. It's as simple as that. They don't really care.
But let's take away they don't care. We know that. What do you feel should be done?
I think to
make this work move progress faster.
I think the younger generation are ready to take control of their own narrative. I've seen even when I started this movement, when I started this movement, I didn't want to do it alone.
Mm-hmm.
So I brought people.
Mm-hmm.
So when you come to the YouTube space, I'm not the only person who is doing this. There's so many people that I brought up that they are also doing their own thing in their own way. Yeah, but I feel like these are the real ambassadors of the continent that if the government or maybe even the private sectors can say that, you know what, these people are doing something that the continent has been yearning for so long and it's time for us to push them.
Yeah.
Would have been fantastically awesome. But the thing is, like, they don't care once again.
Somebody who is sponsoring your Kilimanjaro.
No, to the extent that we reach out to an African company that we're gonna give you, because the Kilimanjaro trip is like a road to a million trip,
uh-huh.
And it's a viral video. you know. And I reached out to an African company and they told me that they don't have anything to do with that. If you are doing your stuff, pay us your money and then let's do our thing.
Okay,
right?
That's how we do it.
But now the company that I'm using is not an African owned. As soon as they saw me, they just said, oh, can we check your platform?
Okay, where do we sign?
As soon as they saw the platform, it's like, bring it on board. Do you need helicopters? What do you need? Like, they are ready to put their companies on the map. And that's what I feel sad that why did I even say I want to promote African businesses? Because, see, a whole big brand, because for me, I just want to celebrate African excellence. And let me tell you something, it's one of the toughest things to do because Africans themselves won't support you.
It's difficult.
You understand? To the extent that we have airlines in Africa that we always take the airlines, we always support them, but for them coming way forward, okay, we need to support you. You have to be chasing them all over the place,
yes,
right? But
because the idea is we are doing you a favor.
Exactly, but you're not doing me a favor. Like, literally, last week, Sunday,
mm-hmm.
my girlfriend came to Ghana and I went to pick her up.
Ah, where is she from?
She's from Kenya, right? I went to pick her up and I got to the airport. I saw a Botswana lady
mm-hmm.
that just arrived and she's like, you know what? It's good to see you. I'm in Ghana and I use Ethiopian Airlines just because I saw you using Ethiopian Airlines. The video is on the internet. I'm not even the one.
Ethiopian Airlines, the trotter of Ghana. Yes. Oh, come off it. You know how you will, if you're going to China,
yeah,
isn't it Accra, Lome, Lagos, Addis, Delhi, Gwangju before you go. Even get
exactly.
to Shanghai.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's more like impact.
Yeah.
When you come to Ghana, I see so many people establishing business because they came to Ghana because of me. They're all on tape. If you go to Rwanda, like I told you earlier, the video that I did sitting in the gutter.
Yeah.
The first time I went to Rwanda, there are no African Americans in Rwanda. But the second time I went to Rwanda,
there and Uganda,
African Americans are establishing businesses, and they all came there because of me. And it's on tape. Like, yeah. I'm not even like
and
making
also,
it up.
Even in the comment section, you
yeah.
see.
I mean, these are videos. I was sleeping in a hotel in Rwanda because I had only 4 days in Rwanda, so I didn't want people to know that I'm around. But the hotel, their chef came to work there because of me. The guy's from Zimbabwe, right? So as soon as I got there, the hotel is like, oh, our chef came here because of you, so we want to host you.
Yeah.
So they hosted me. So I mean, if a hotel hosts you, you have to give them a shout out.
Yes.
So I knew that I was leaving the next morning because I don't want to put location. I posted in the evening. The next morning, that was when I was leaving. As soon as I posted, 10 minutes, people were sitting at the hotel.
Waiting for you.
Waiting for me. I came down to eat. They all rushed to me like, you can't hide, man.
So you see, this is national treasure.
Exactly. But they don't care because your father is not a politician.
Oh, Charlie.
There's so many people that are doing great stuff on the continent, but they just need a little push. I met a guy. I interviewed a guy who is building, he's building houses with plastic waste.
Yes.
And then I asked him, are you getting support from the government? No, and this guy can build for schools. Like, you know, we have schools under trees.
And affordable houses.
Jeez, man. It's sad, but like I said,
you have
to love the continent before you can do whatever you want to do.
What's the biggest lesson you've learned on your travels?
Africa is just a country.
Wow.
Yeah.
Would you like to expand on that a little?
The more I travel, the more I see the similarities.
Yeah.
The more I see...
we are more similar than we are.
See, I went to Congo and, you know, I thought I was going far away. I went to Congo and I'm seeing the same food that we eat in Ghana.
Mm-hmm.
In Congo, they have cassava, they have plantain.
But funny enough, the Kenyans don't.
Eh? The Kenyans don't, right? But that's like the East Africa.
Yes.
You can still find something similar that you can see in Ghana. See, we have kebab. When you come to Ghana, everyone is like, kebab, kebab. But when you go to Kenya, they branded a different name, calling it nyama choma.
Yeah.
If you go to Togo, we have wache in Togo.
Yes.
We have kenke in Togo. Yeah. They have a different name that they call it, right? It's just,
Africa. I think the sharing is happening because with people are traveling.
No, not even people are traveling. It's just, we're just the same people that were divided by colonialism.
Yes, I understand. But like, for instance, you go to Ajengule in Lagos.
Yeah.
and the wachi sellers, all the people who left Ghana.
I don't want
the wachi, the kinky businesses, and everybody's
and you see the beans that we eat here that we are. When you go to Nigeria,
yeah,
they sell exactly the same beans, but they got the beans from Togo. It's called Ewagonye.
Uh-huh. And then we have the kose and akara. And
you see, so that's like normally when you travel and then you see that, wow. Why are we even calling Africa a continent? It should be a country where we all be able to come together as one man and do our own thing in our own way.
Yeah. What's the biggest culture shock you've ever had when you've traveled somewhere?
I went to Namibia and then they said they give their wives for, you know, everyone can enjoy their wives as soon as, yeah, you're shocked. Yeah, you're shocked.
So did you partake?
Oh, nah. So I went to the Himba village.
Those are the people, the Himba
village. And then I got there and it's like, welcome. I'm like, oh, thank you. It's like, oh.
Please, now you've said this, all the Ghana will, all the men will take off.
No, but I don't think it's something that you will even enjoy. Don't worry about it. Please don't waste your time.
Okay.
Don't waste your time. But it was a good one.
Your last question. What's your dream country to visit? You visited so many places. Which is that one country that you say, I have to get myself there?
Yes. I think it will be Cape Verde. It's Cape Verde. I don't swim, but I love beaches, you know. I love walking along the beach and then seeing the beauty of beaches. So,
do you like music by Cesaria Evora?
No, I don't even know her, but I'm definitely going to check
Cape
her out.
Cape Verde's like giant. She's passed now.
Wow. You know. Yeah, so that's why when I see the beaches at Cape Verde, I just can't wait. And Cape Verde, Seychelles, and yeah.
And Santo Tome. Santo Tome is also another.
Is it Santorini?
Santo Tome.
Oh, Santo Tome, yeah. Santo Tome, yeah. It's also one of the countries, because that's why I'm saving all those countries for my last.
Yeah. Okay. Obviously, I'm going to ask, but we all know your social media.
Social media handles YouTube is Wodemaya.
Yeah.
Wodemaya, and then all social media handles. I mean, Instagram is Mr. Ghana Baby.
That was your initial.
That was my initial name on YouTube.
Yeah.
And it changed based on the story that I told you.
So you're Mr. Ghana Baby on Instagram. And on Twitter.
Wodemaya.
So yeah. People, go check out the videos. I'm sure most of you have been following it. But we've had the man take time from his very busy schedule to join us. So I'd like to thank you very, very much. Make sure you do not miss your flight to Tanzania. And, you know, think of putting some space in your suitcase so that I can also follow you, okay?
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much for having me. I want to thank my techs, Emmanuel, and of course, the great Perfect who keeps everything moving. And also to you, the audience, as they say, a child who has never traveled will always say their mother's cooking is the best. So travel and see. I mean, even if it's just to another part of the city. Yesterday, I was coming from Circle Home. The traffic was horrendous. So the trotter driver had to do some detours. He took us some routes. We passed places. People were like, hey, where is it? And someone's like, we are on excursion. People were like, we are here. And people were excited because they've been to places in Accra they'd never seen before. We ended up on the N1 somewhere before we managed to come to Achimota. Wow. But it was really exciting. People were being friendly and, you know, we were all enjoying ourselves. So, you know, it was a fun trip. So people, travel and see. Follow Wodemaya. Travel and see.
Mm-hmm.
We are on africaglobalradio.com, on Twitter, Instagram. We are at AF Global Radio, Facebook, Africa Global Radio. And of course, you can send us a WhatsApp on +233 2070 64680. Arts Africa is brought to you by Africa Global Radio. Now, have a great weekend, people. You know, next week is Saturday. It is Christmas Day, the 25th. And I'm sure you're all going to be chillaxing and busy with your loved ones at home or wherever you're going to spend it. But guess what? Make sure to join us next Saturday. Yes, the Arts Africa show is going to come to you on Christmas Day. exactly at 12 noon as always. My name is Alba K. Supreme, and to get the Christmas spirit going, I'm going to leave you with one of my favorite Christmas songs by the one and only Mariah Carey. It is O Holy Night. Charlie, if that does not get you into the Christmas mood, I don't know what will. So enjoy.
Escuchas ese rugido, sientes la experiencia de poder, la emoción de la libertad. Ya estás preparado para vivir tu nueva aventura. Nueva Ram 1500, hecha para vivir. Ram es una marca registrada de FCA US LLC.